Welcome to the Toddcast. I am your most excellent host, John Engel. With me, as always, or almost always, is the Immortan Bo.
Hello.
And our
stop
new,
bagging books here.
Damn it! You ruined my vibe.
Sorry.
Tim doesn't get the singing intro. And our newest companion, Tim Cope, who has done an excellent job and is always kicking ass with the our online auctions for the show or for the company. So this is good. Oh, it's been a crazy week, guys. Crazy. So we have coming up in the NDC calendar, Free Graphic Novel Day, first Saturday of March. And then I'm announcing right now, it will hit the website probably this weekend. The Saturday after St. Patrick's Day, so the, I believe, 20th of March, every store, it'll be a basement sale style long box deal for dollar books. So it's $2.50 a long box. All the books have to face the same direction. All the books have to be, they all have to face the same. You can't stuff down, push stuff down the sides or on the bottoms. You got to fill the whole long box, $2.50 plus tax. Dollar books, fill them up. I am working on a plan to get Cranberry some extra stuff since they don't usually have a lot, but that will happen. And that will be the Saturday. And I think I may also do it the Sunday as well, just to have a 2-day event. But that'll be at all locations that weekend. So have fun with that. I want to call it the Pot of Gold sale. Todd wants me to call it the long box event. I don't really care what it is. I just know it's really cool.
What about the long box of gold?
Oh, the gold box event?
Yeah.
It's better than the gold bond event, I guess.
I don't know. Depends on your moisture level, but
jeez. So
that's right. I might have said moist on camera.
Moist. What? I will say moist a lot. Should we talk comics or you want to talk some other stuff first? I'm good either way.
Well, you had stuff that you had happen today. You want to go over that?
Yeah, I think we're gonna get really stuck in that. So let's do comics first and get them out of the way. That can go pretty quick. All right, my first book, Aria, Heavenly Creatures one shot from Image Comics. This was cool, but it was really, really wordy. And if you've never read like an Aria book, it was very, very interesting. Basically you have a fairy, a angel and a werewolf hanging out, saving a angel from a nightmare, like a person who is a nightmare that traps her. Art's fairly good. Story's good, but then there's pages like where it's just all text and it's like, I understand that's kind of like moving the story along, but it's kind of long. It is like a oversized book cause it's $6.99. So I wasn't super happy with it, but it kind of drug because it was so long. But the art kind of made up for it. All right.
Oh, that was pretty cool. The art was really nice. So for sure. Who wants to go next?
Why don't you go? You're the second in command. I'm the new guy.
Okay. It's like I'm watching the Pens game. Don't worry about me.
I got to go with Last Ronin because I was super excited for this book to come out. It did not let down again. It's very good. Well, now we begin into talking about how the turtles. You know, Mikey's all that's left. That's not a spoiler now since it's already been it's been months since the last issue. So if you haven't read it yet, sorry, you've just been spoiled. But we go into, it talks more about how the turtles are passing away. So this is going to take a little bit. I can't remember how many issues it's going to be, but we did find out how, had to find out how Splinter went and how Raphael went. And, you know, goes through and finds out that, you know, he knows April's still alive, and finds out that Casey Jones and April had a kid together, and her name's Casey also. She's the one that saved Mikey when he fell from the last issue and everything like that. But that's really what they're doing now. They're kind of just getting settled in now, talking about the past, how it got to this, and, you know, how big and, like, stronger and more, like, mutated even Mikey's become, like, to withstand different things that he's been through. And then we got a little teaser at the end. Looks like they're going to do a lot of stuff with or some stuff with Fugitoid, which is pretty cool. Nice. That predates Turtles even, and it's an Eastman, you know, Kevin Eastman thing. So, pretty good. It was awesome read. So, get a chance. Okay. People should have multiple copies of, like, your second, third printings, all that stuff now. So, you can, you know, people have caught up with it and get them. So, start reading. It's really good.
There was a cool panel in there too, wasn't it? With like Peter Layard. They were sitting at like a bench. And what was the other guy's name? Matt Smith. Is it the artist that was with him?
Waltz. It has to be Waltz.
Waltz. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. I thought that was pretty cool that they worked that in. So.
It's really cool. Book's awesome. So it just hasn't, you know, obviously it didn't give you that hype of the first one where you found out it was just Mikey and stuff like that, but it was still.
Yeah.
You know, we're getting settled into the story now. It's going to be good. So
nice. Well, I had King in Black number 4. And me and John disagreed on the ending, but this book, first of all, Ryan Stegman's art is awesome. He was born to draw Spider-Man and symbiotes and things like that. But this starts out with Dylan finally entering the scene to kick some ass. Spider-Man gives him a little talk, like, you don't have to do this, you know, like, nobody gave me that choice. I got bit by a spider, I have to do this. And he's like, no, I want to hurt something. And he's got like this crazed look in his eye. And he hears somebody talking to him that tells him that he can connect with Null and hurt him from the inside and also help release the people that were trapped. Doctor Strange gets rescued by Black Cat and goes God mode Doctor Strange, which was freaking awesome. And then really the big thing was the last issue had Silver Surfer had arrived, and you heard him talking that he was the light that was going to counter Null's darkness, but he wasn't. You find out that it's Bo, you want to say it?
Yeah, right? Captain Universe.
Captain Universe. And I thought it was freaking cool. John did.
Bummer. So did I. I thought it was cool.
Bummer.
Yeah.
That was awesome. So, it was out of left field. Like,
yeah, it was.
I never. Yeah. Yeah. So.
It's not a bummer. Like, Cates could actually do something cool with this, you know, with the character, even though it looks like it's going to be Eddie Brock. But, yeah, you know, I don't see how that goes. But. It was still cool. I liked it. So,
my speculation then became that I feel that Eddie Brock will now just be Captain Universe, and yeah. Dylan is going to be Venom from now on.
Potentially, I don't know if Dylan will be Venom, or if he'll be his own thing, they'll leave like. Yeah, maybe he'll have the symbiote, but I don't know if he'll go by Venom. I think he'll keep like his own name. I'm interested to see what it is. If you're right, that fifth issue is probably going to fly off the shelves as quick as the first couple did. So I think that's going to be cool. So yeah, Captain Universe wraps up Eddie Brock, who was dead. And obviously he's probably going to come back to life. So
yeah.
But
oh, yep, bust out your Micronauts 8 or whatever it was.
Yep, that's what it is.
Watch that book go back up again.
Yep.
I was like, really?
It's cool. Really? What I worry about is, you know, I like Donny Cates' writing stuff like that, but I never thought he ever stuck the landing with anything. And this feels like he's about to hit the gymnast 10, like do one of them somersaults for a 10. It seems good. Like, I'm excited for it. So we'll see.
I agree with that, because when I read Absolute Carnage, and it turned out to be almost like a setup event, So, but the way that they were, you know, saying that Absolute Carnage was going to be was that it was going to be, you know, this awesome event, which it was good. It just didn't stick the landing. Like you said, it kind of just fizzled into the next issues. But this feels like everything good. He's building to. So
feels good.
I just, you know, I just kind of was like, like it's the Null thing's overhyping. So I was like, no. And then I was like, Captain Universe, really?
Not now. Wait till they, wait till they do it in the movie. They're doing Carnage in the second Venom.
You know,
it's only a matter of time before they do Null. So,
we'll see. All right. My second book, moving on. My second book. is Shadow Doctor number one from Aftershock. So this was kind of an interesting book because it's actually a true story. It's about this guy's grandfather who was a young black kid growing up in, I want to say, like, Chicago area, if I remember right. And he ends up, in his younger days, he ends up being a bootlegger and working for this boss, and he ends up like getting out of that and going to school and becoming a doctor, and then he can't get a job at any of the hospitals because it's like the '30s and no one wants to hire a black doctor, so he needs to get money to build an actual hospital. And so he goes, because the one black hospital that was there shut down. So he goes to a bank, they say no. He goes to another bank, they say no. He goes to a third bank, they say no. And eventually he runs into a guy from that old gang, and he's like, hey, you should talk to our old boss, and you should see what he can do for you. So he goes to meet the guy, and the guy is actual Scarface. Like, that's the guy that he used to work for is now the big boss, who is Scarface. So he's like, that's where it ends. And they meet at the beginning, or they meet at the point where they reveal that he worked for Scarface. But knowing that this is a true story, and the idea that Scarface gave someone money to start a hospital, just, it blows my mind, because I think that's really cool. And I never knew that ever. So that's, it's really, I think it's just cool because it's like a legit real story, and it's written by the guy's grandson.
Is it written by his grandson? That's kind of cool. I didn't know that.
Peter Calloway is the guy who wrote it, and it's
based on his grandfather.
Now. Yeah. I'm trying to remember what his grandfather's name was.
Was it Captain Universe? It wasn't, John.
You know what? No, it wasn't. It was Nathaniel Calloway, was his grandfather's name, aka Captain Universe. So, written by Donnie Cates. So, I really enjoyed it. I thought it was a different kind of book to read. And I'm really behind on a lot of other stuff I need to catch up on, but things have to calm down in my life first for me to not do it. All these snowstorms where I'm like, oh, I'm off. No, I'm not. Oh, I'm off. No, I'm not. Because I have to keep jumping around to help get the books to everybody. It's crazy. I do hope everyone is staying safe at home during this crazy winter mix, too. Also, I just want to point out, so I hooked up my TV as my extra monitor, and I have it playing up there as we're live, so I can watch for comments. And holy crap, does this video look really nice?
Yeah.
All right, I'm done. Go ahead, Bo.
All right. I did the first book, Recount number one. I did the first book. I absolutely loved it. And this book continues to be awesome to me too. The guy, I forget what his first name is. Hedrick is his last name. It's a very political book without being political, which is kind of cool. It's just a political thriller. I'm pretty sure this guy's going to be on the FBI's most wanted list though, because either he's fucking Nostradamus or you know, something people are going to have to watch out for in this, because I know this book was written before all this happened, you know, all political stuff aside and whatnot, but it follows along exactly like what, you know, like the world is now, but it's done in a very non-political way. You don't know what party's what. It's just a political thriller. And if you like that kind of thing, definitely continue to check it out. I know it got popular at my store, and probably because I hyped it up and said how good it was, and it actually is really good. So if you want something political without being political at the same time, check it out, because it kind of hits close to home a little bit too. So definitely check out Recount number 2.
Cool.
Well, my book was a DC book. Just kidding. It was a Marvel book, obviously, because I just can't do anything else right now. You guys always have the different interesting books. I feel like I have to do the Marvel books.
You don't have to. But just give up on it like I do sometimes.
I think we just need to broaden your horizons, Tim.
I read indie books. I just like talking about like the Marvel ones. And hey, man, DC's corny. What, you know?
Yeah.
Spike Lee, 2021. I read Champions number 4. It was a little confusing. The Champions are on the run. They're kind of split up. Half of them are in like a re-education camp that they shouldn't be superheroes, and the other half are on the run because the teen superheroes is outlawed. And right when they're about to be arrested, Cyclops and Dust show up, who are used to be Champions, but Cyclops is older Cyclops, not the younger Cyclops that was in Champions with them. And he offers them stay at Krakoa. It was the part that was confusing to me was he kept mentioning that his time as a champion, but I had understood it that when in Bendis's run, when they sent them back to the past, that they wiped their memory of everything. The gene had wiped their memory of everything so that they could go back, basically ruining his whole run. But so I didn't understand how Cyclops remembered that he was in with the Champions, but they can't figure out why they're being tracked or how they're being tracked so easily. And it turns out that Viv Vision is still alive, and she's the one that's calling in tips because she thinks she's helping them. So it was a weird book. It wasn't the best of that series so far. And they switched artists. The guy that was doing the art on the first two issues was the guy that's doing We Only Find Them When They're Dead. So I was kind of disappointed. He's doing the interior? He was doing the interior. Now the last two issues they've had somebody else. So it's kind of bummed that maybe he's coming. He'll come back. I don't know, but usually if you're off of a book that early, then you're probably not coming back. So, but it was an okay book. So
cool.
I bought it, but I only bought the variant, the one with Riri on the cover for Black History Month. Yeah. I just like that cover. I thought it was cool with her on it.
So. Yeah.
I like that cover a lot too. I'm not really a big Champions fan though. So
no, I couldn't tell you one thing about them hardly.
So, all right, so let's talk about WandaVision for a few minutes. Can I just say I am so excited about the costumes.
Uh-huh. They were awesome.
The whole Malcolm in the Middle intro was awesome.
Oh, when she turned around, she had like the curlers in her hair and she's brushing her teeth. I was like, oh my God, this is amazing. So, yeah, it was awesome.
Vision
had his boxer shorts on.
Yeah. I thought it was awesome. I thought it was cool to see the outskirts of town too, like where people were like sort of in motion, but not. Like where you can tell like her powers aren't as strong, but they're still just like, help me, you know.
Well, that's how you know that like Vision is definitely not being controlled by her, because they talked about how like the epicenter of everything where she's got stuff going on, everybody's being controlled by her, but then the further out you go, less control, but Vision made his way all the way out there and was free to walk around, and she didn't even know he was out there. So I think that pretty much confirms that somebody else is using Vision to play her. So
yeah, or she put him back enough that she can that he can be kind of, you know, more normal, I guess.
Yeah.
You know, that's a possibility too. So
I don't know if that explains when she saw him and he looked like he was dead, though. Because that's, was that just like torment in her mind that she saw, or was that like real and there was a lapse on somebody's part? I don't know.
I don't know. I thought it was, like the, you mean the moment where she saw Quicksilver is dead?
No, no. Well, there was that moment, but that was similar to, I think it was like two episodes before that when she, Vision turns around, he's all gray and he has like,
Right. Yeah. I think that, I don't know. Like, I don't think she's controlling either of them. Of the people in there, I think those are the only two that she's not, outside of the kids. I almost want to say that Wiccan is actually in control of this, which would be very interesting. But, you know, if we looked at the Funko Pop exclusives from GameStop, we all know that somebody else is in control of a lot of other things. So thanks, Bo.
Well, there was also a Quicksilver one. Did you see that one?
Yeah, they were talking about that today. Yeah.
And it was Quick or Pietro or whatever, and it was in quotes. So it was kind of like a little bit of a, you know,
he's not,
we all
really
kind of knew. Yeah, and we all kind of knew, suspected, especially with this last episode, that it wasn't really him. So
I don't know. I think it might be him.
You think?
I do. I think it might be him. I just, it's weird. It's weird to explain, but I do. I think it might be him. I kind of hope it is, so that I think it's a good setup for everything to move forward. So that's most of my excitement about it. But I also like that the town's borders are now growing out and expanding.
Yeah.
So shit's getting even crazier. Most of S.W.O.R.D. has just been decimated or turned to clowns. Like, that was awesome that they could turn into clowns and wear a circus.
Is Darcy going to be a superhero? Who knows?
I don't think so.
Super so Darcy that, and Mirror Mirror.
And Meow Meow. but with her, there's a lot of speculation that the astrophysicist that she's talking about is Reed Richards. And
another one I'll tell you after, but go ahead.
And then there is talk about the dude from The Office being the guy that a lot of people are speculating is going to be Reed Richards.
Yeah, John Krasinski.
Yeah. And then they were like, because there's supposed to be an Office episode, and the 2010 episode is supposed to be an Office episode, but you see Pietro in that character's, like, in his role in that. Like, there was a leaked photo of that. So I don't know how that's going to work out. But I'd be kind of okay with that. So where's your new speculation going? What's this new one?
That you're gonna go? No, there. So who was the name you said? Reed Richards. Somebody had mentioned Blue Marvel. While I think that would be cool, I think it would be really weird and odd for them to just like drop Blue Marvel out of nowhere, especially when they're trying to set up Monica's story. It would seem like it would maybe take away from her story a little bit. So I don't think they want to do that. But then the other one was Justin Hammer. So
yeah, but Justin Hammer is not an astrophysicist.
I don't know what he does.
And he's still in jail.
Last time we saw, he could have blipped out. Who knows?
That's a good point.
There's a lot to be. And those are all speculations anyways. We'll find out hopefully tomorrow. It looks like.
Right. And I love that sometimes I may just throw you guys a red herring just because it's fun. And we only have like, what, three episodes left?
That whole show's a red herring.
I know. Every time
you think you have it figured out, it's like
what are they doing? Right? Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Digging a box.
It's fun.
I mean, when...
It's fun to go back. I went back today and started watching from episode one, and I made it to the fourth episode, and all the stuff that you missed in the first couple ones becomes way more clear. Yeah.
I love doing that.
Yeah.
So, but tomorrow morning, brand new one. Good times. Yep.
I had people in the Facebook sale today. I asked them, I said, okay, what time's everybody get up and watch this? And I had like three or four people that said they stay up till 3 a.m. for it.
Holy crap.
Yeah. I'm like, you know, my wife gets up at 7:30 to get ready for work, and we watch it before work. That's nuts. Yeah.
Like, I'll get up at like sometime between 8 and 9 tomorrow, and then I'll watch it. And then I'll hop on the second day of the Comics Pro meeting. So,
well, make sure you give yourself an hour, because the last three episodes are all an hour each.
Oh, really?
Okay. Yeah, they announced that. Yeah.
Well, as long as I start watching it by 9, I'll be okay then.
Yeah.
Because the Comics Pro meeting doesn't start till I think 11:30 Eastern, because everything's based on Pacific time. So it's really so we're using this web portal called Whova. I don't know if you've ever used Whova before, but it's actually kind of cool, because you can hit a button and it changes everything to your local time, so you can actually know when stuff is. And I'm like, oh, thank God. Because there's because last night I was in I did like a meet and greet with some people, and I met some retailers from like Australia and some from Britain and a bunch of dudes from the West Coast. Nice. Some guys I knew, some guys I didn't. And then I ended up hanging out in a breakout room with a couple of guys. Give me 1 second. I can tell you everybody that was there. One guy was Josh Blaylock, and Bo, I told him about how much you love his Encoded book. There's some really awesome covers coming, by the way.
Don't tell him too much I like him, because
it got weird. Trust me, it got weird.
Because I'm sure there's other stuff he writes that me and him would battle on. But I like his G.I. Joe.
It was mostly we talked about his G.I. Joe, how it reminded us of G.I. Joe and Transformers and 80s cartoons. And he was like, yep, that was what I was going for. Dave Barron, who did Justice League and Batman Who Laughs and Green Arrow and The Authority. He was the colorist on a lot of that stuff. It was awesome. He was super cool to talk to. Kit, who's the marketing associate for Devil's Due, or assistant publisher of Devil's Due, and she was the market associate for Ahoy. That was cool. Alan Pasalacqua, I hope I said that right. He's the colorist who did Battle Pug, and a bunch of other cool stuff. Elisa Wiki, she's another artist. She's doing a book with David Barron. They did Stained, I believe, together for I can't remember which indie publisher it was, but it was a pretty cool book. And then also in that was Rick from BCW. So it's like a retailer, four creators, two publishers.
are people just yelling over each other?
No, we were all just like hanging out, having beers in our own houses, and just kind of talking about, we were all sharing fun con stories and like fun con sketches. Like I busted out like a sketch Josh did for me years ago that was Mercy Sparks and the devil as the Baroness and Destro. Cosplay. And it was really super cool. Those guys were awesome. Oh, and Doug Wagner was in there too. He's done he wrote The Ride for Image, and what was the other one? Plastic and The Hard Place, and he did that World of Warcraft hardcover. He did the Witchblade Red Sonja book. he actually has a project coming up, and we may or may not have talked about having him on the show, just so you know. So that was kind of cool. Today was a lot of, wow, sorry, we just totally segued into Comics Pro, and I'm sorry. So today was a long day. It was really nuts. There's some stuff I can't talk about. A lot of it was just how people got through the pandemic and things to check out. But it was really nice to see, you know, 300 comic retailers all in the same Zoom call. And know half of them was kind of nice too. So one of the big things that came out today was from Image, and Todd McFarlane then posted immediately about it, so we are allowed to talk about it. So 2021 is the year of Spawn. And in that, he's releasing Spawn Universe, King Spawn, Gunslinger Spawn, and
Redeemer.
No, there's another one.
Redeemer's in there too.
Redeemer's in the Spawn Universe book, because the Spawn Universe book is those main four. I got it here. Yeah. All of those are coming out as Spawn titles sometime this year. So in a 4-week month, you're going to have a Spawn title.
Medieval Spawn.
Yeah. But Gunslinger's getting his own book.
Yeah.
King Spawn is getting his own book. And then there's another one that's like the Spawn Universe type thing. They're all getting a number one. There's no number one Spawn Universe that's coming out that just introduces this world. But now every week you will have a different Spawn title. You will have four Spawn books every month. You'll have a Spawn every week. Because his goal was to have a new Spawn one for this whole new generation that did not get to collect Spawn one back in the 90s. So know that that's coming. And it will be.
Well, don't forget the other part of that. Each one of them is sure to have an Amazing Spider-Man 300 tribute cover.
Oh,
yeah. Because.
and Donny Cates is going to be writing some of it.
Is he?
Yeah.
That's cool. Yeah.
And they brought back like the stable of almost every Spawn artist and writer. Like there's so much stuff. Like the creative teams they're having, because the Spawn Universe book is going to be like mini stories each week. It's going to be like four mini stories a book. So different creative teams are going to have different stories in that book. The other three, like you'll have your regular Spawn, your King Spawn, and Gunslinger will all be separate books though. So that was kind of cool. I thought it was neat that we were allowed to actually talk about it. So that was cool.
I'm surprised it took him this long to do that, to like branch out and do.
Well, I think he wanted to hit 300 first.
Yeah.
I imagine he's been planning this for a year, because he probably wanted to do it last year when 300 did come out. But then, you know, the world went to shit. So.
Well, and he's a control freak too. So the idea of like giving up to let other artists or writers do, I don't know if he's, I would assume he's not writing them all.
Right. I don't know. I doubt it either, but there's a lot of creators helping out with this project, and it seemed really, really cool. The bad idea presentation for the stores was awesomely hilarious. They shot it like a bad infomercial. And it was like Bagsley Back Issue was the guy, and he's like, I can make $1 million with these books. Check it out. Here's how you sell a bad idea book. And it had like bad 80s graphics and shit like that. It was so funny. And they basically went through all the rules about it. And something else bad idea that I'm going to actually screenshot or share my screen and show you. It's really funny. So I get this email in Key Collector today, and it's about ENIAC number one. So as most of you know, ENIAC number one is Bad Ideas' first book coming out. All of our stores are pre-sold. So they talk about up here, like there's a bunch of things that are like we've got a lot of questions about this book. So here's a recap. Most of the stuff.
Yeah. Key Collector's such a joke. Yeah. I'm sorry.
No, I get it. Oh, no. There's a funny part here. This part's getting really funny. So here's the part where it's like they are forcing shops to limit sales to one per person. Yes, that is 100% true. So then like it talks about like the second print, goes how it's like a much demand book. So then down here, this is my favorite part. So when we reached out to Bad Idea for comment, they responded by sending this. We will only speak to the employees or representatives of the Great Wizard World magazine, the guide to comics, no one else. They literally sent that to us. They then also tweeted that for some reason, like a weird war cry aimed at no one in particular. I thought that was the best thing. I saw that, and I immediately like I took a picture of it and I texted it to one of my buddies that works there, and I was like, "This is hilarious," because this just came out on Key Collector, and he's like, "That is fucking hilarious." So, but just so you guys know, yes, we cannot sell more than one copy of things that Bad Idea puts out to other people. And we did double check to make sure that no one from cross store contamination was happening, and we had zero overlap. So good job, customers. Good job. Way to go.
Good. That's good job us for knowing.
Yeah.
Who'd be trying that shit?
Right. And if you're wondering why we only ordered limited amounts, I will also tell you that they have a rule for retailers that we cannot the number that we order for number one. We have to order for the entire arc, and all of their arcs are 4-issue arcs. So if we ordered 50 because we think that a bunch of scalpers are going to come in and buy them all, we have to order 52, 3, and 4. That's not good math. That's not good waste. That's a waste of money, in my opinion. But if we ordered 50 throughout the company and like the company just has to order 50 of all those, that's a little different because I can spread that out over the stores. So it's actually kind of a cool thing. We also are not allowed to upcharge any of those books for the first 30 days, just so you guys know. So if you see one of my stores doing that, you let me know. I will yell at them because that's not cool.
That'd be all right if we actually had extra copies.
Yeah, right. Our mission really with these books was to get them to people who actually want to read them. The other cool part about seeing all the information I got from the stores when I was compiling that was like 75% of those people all hit ongoing. Yes. There were very few per store. It was like 30% per store, 20 to 30% per store that wanted just a single issue, which I thought was awesome. So you can pre-order Tankers number one with us. So you're going to want to do that now because the orders confirmed for that on Monday.
And you can pre-order the not first print version of ENIAC, at least through me. I ordered extra for, you know, if people wanted to check it out.
Yeah. So, and then ENIAC 2 is also available for order right now too. Yeah. So check it out. It's going to be a good time.
Like I said, I think it's funny how they're treating companies like CBSI because I find the guys that work for CBSI and CBSI in general to be a bunch of fucking fools. Like they can't think for themselves, so they create things like Key Collector. They don't know what they're looking for. It's a bunch of comic amateurs, in my opinion, pure opinion. But anyways, Bad Ideas.
Bo's opinion does not reflect the opinions of New Dimension Comics.
Yeah, but you guys probably agree with me.
I will say that there was a guy I'm not a big fan of scalpers in opinion or in general. Like I just am like you ruin it for people who want to read the book.
I mean, so I agree, but like I said, we as store owner or you know, not store owners, but like as myself as manager, it's our fault if, you know, we got to keep on top of things. We got to know what's good, what's bad, and you got to keep up on it. So, I mean, if they get one over us, it's cool, but they ain't getting one over on me. So I price the stuff up. But I do say this about Bad Ideas. With all this that's going on with, you know, couldn't get as many, this book better knock it out the fucking park. If it's not, I'm going to roast the shit out of it.
Yeah.
Like, that's just, that is what it is. It's got to be really good.
This and Tankers better do very, very well. I think it's going to do well, though. Yeah.
For how they've done things and how they're acting, it's got to be a damn good book, and it's got to draw readers in. I'm a reader. I like to collect for value. Plus, I like to collect to read. So,
right. Like, I'm a reader draw first. Me in. I'm a reader first, collector second.
So
yeah.
I hope it's as good as they hype it. So,
agreed. Also, I guess through the end of, or through the first weekend of March, quarter books are still at the mills. Go fill up a bag, box, or long, or bag, short, or long box, for different amounts. And that's still going on. They did really well with it the first week. I just dropped off another 80 long boxes yesterday.
Is this the quarter stuff?
Yeah.
Damn.
They got like 150 long boxes of it. It was nuts. So apparently Tim's gonna not watch the game anymore.
No, I don't know.
I was like, what happened? Yeah. You're all of a sudden gonna watch The Servant.
No. No. But I am gonna watch For All Mankind season 2 comes out. If you don't have Apple like Plus, you should do like a 1 month free trial and watch that.
Really, I got a year free with my new iPad, actually.
Well, check it out. It's really good. It's Russia wins the space race, and then it's alternate history that like stems from that. And it's really cool.
That's awesome.
So, yeah.
I really want to watch Ted Lasso because it's done by Bill Lawrence and his Scrubs. So
yeah, and Jason Sudeikis.
Yeah,
it's in it, and he's awesome. So
true.
We talk about the trailer stuff, talking about stuff everybody wants to watch. We got to talk about that Justice League trailer. Dear God, it was absolutely phenomenal. I cannot wait. It is going to. This is quote of the day for me. This is going to put any Marvel movie, Avengers movie, to fucking shame. It's going to be bad. Death to the Avengers and stuff like that. This has like. I watched it and I was just astounded at the look of everything, seeing Darkseid, Joker, everybody in it. It's, and getting rid of Josh Whedon is the best thing that could ever happen to anybody, but yet he's still employed by Disney, which baffles me, but somebody else isn't. But, you know, it's just, I'm so looking forward to it. Yeah, that guy's still employed, but Gina's not.
Hypocrites. That's the only thing that about that I'm happy about, is that they're going to wipe out Joss Whedon's version. He's an asshole, and I hope he never works anywhere else again. But outside of that, I think that movie's going to be garbage.
No, I don't. I think it's
so bad.
When I saw the version of Steppenwolf that they're using for this version versus the redone Whedon one, like I was like, it looks awful. Like I don't like the color palette. I don't like it. I was like, I'm going to watch it.
Palette?
I'm going to watch it because I want to see.
I'm going to watch it too.
Like, you know, I want to, I'm curious. I'm morbidly curious about it. I want to know what goes on.
It's going to be, dark. It's not going to be like a kiddie Marvel movie. It's going to be dark. And that's what it needs to be. Like, let Zack Snyder just run DC and see how he does. I'm super excited for it. I've been talking about this for months now. So it's almost
It can't be anything less than perfection for them for it to pay off, because if it's not, then the whole thing was a waste, because you already put $300 million into the first one that lost $60 million, and then what, they put 70 or 80 into this one. So I'm going to watch it for that, because I have no doubt that it'll be better than the first version. I just think it's going to be just barely better. So I thought the Joker looked like albino kid got a hold of like mom's lipstick the Joker. I thought
he looked like a fish. He looks like a Joker fish.
No, Leto could play a good Joker. He could be just as good as Heath Ledger, and they took off the tattoo tattoo stuff from Suicide Squad, and they did make him look better, and we'll see how much of a role he actually has in this. I don't know, but supposedly it's only supposed to be, what, it's 4 hours long, only 30 minutes of it is shared with what Josh Whedon did, so I mean,
I'm mostly curious to see it because I want to know what gets changed. I feel like this is Highlander 2 for our generation, like for this generation, I should say. Because like
the quickening was awesome. You can't badmouth
the original version. Have you ever watched the Renegade version? The Renegade version's awesome.
Anything like, with Sean Connery in it is good. You cannot blast. I don't know why man. Highlander.
So for those who are too young to know or have never watched Highlander 2.
You're insane, and you should go do it now.
So the original version makes the immortals aliens.
Yeah.
And it totally jacks up the whole story. So you do this whole thing where they're aliens, and the prize is actually youth, and then, like, aliens show up, and he kills one of them, and that's how he gets, like, after he's grown old, he becomes young again because he killed an alien. So then he gets young again and he's immortal again, and then there's more, like, so it goes through and they defeat the other aliens. Then they were like, they released it, everybody was like, what the hell is this? So they went back and they did a director's cut, which they really didn't change the story that much. Then they did what's called the Renegade version, and the Renegade version fix the story enough to make it not aliens. By basically like changing some of the story, some of the scenes around, and they added like a couple things, they cut a few things. So it's very much so to me the feeling of Highlander 2. I was not a fan of Batman Superman. I was not a fan of Dawn of Justice. So I am curious to see, or I was not a fan of Justice League. I'm curious to see if it's any better than what it was. Mm-hmm. But like the things I didn't like about Batman Superman were like the last 20 minutes where Doomsday just showed up for no reason at all.
Yeah, like, I mean,
and there was a lot of that movie just did not flow with the atmosphere that I thought he built in Man of Steel and in Watchmen. So so to me it was already kind of going off the rails at the second movie. So by the time
he tried to pack too much into, he did try, I mean, this obviously is not him packing too much in, he's got plenty of time to do what he wants in this, but I did think he packed too much in, and his casting was pretty awful, like especially with Lex Luthor, which we've talked about on here before too. But I have high hopes for it. I always said DC went off the rails when they tried to be Marvel DC. They tried to be just too chipper, upbeat, and just, you know, I like that dark, gritty version of DC, and I want it back, and I think that's what I'm going to get back with this. I really think it's going to be that, and that's what I hope for. I don't care. As long as I get to see Darkseid, I will classify it right now as a 10 out of fucking 10, as long as I get to see Darkseid. So that's what was missing for that movie for me, because Steppenwolf made no sense whatsoever, just being the big bad guy, like not even a B-list character. I mean, a D-list character to start that all off. So this looks like you see him paying, you know, bowing down to Darkseid and stuff like that. It was so cool. It just made me happy. So,
yeah, I'm interested in it to see, like I said, I'm morbidly curious to see how weird it is, like how different it is. And that's really my main intention of watching it. How about that Mortal Kombat trailer?
That was awesome.
Is this actually gonna get really made?
Cool. It's like, made. It's coming to HBO.
Officially now made, and it's done. Okay, yeah, I didn't know.
It's April, I think it comes out on HBO Max. April, I think. Yeah, it looks awesome.
I'm not a Mortal Kombat fan. I didn't think the other movies were that good, but I definitely was like, all right, I'll at least check this out. So
the first movie was good.
First movie was okay. Yeah,
it had its elements of it's good. So
was that the one where Christopher Lambert was Raiden?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, that was the good one. Yeah.
I mean, it's no Street Fighter movie, that's for sure.
That's a hard one to beat there.
Yes.
That's the like when I think of the old Mortal Kombat, that's what I think of. It's just more nostalgia. They're not great movies, but I think of them in the same vein as like the Street Fighter movie. That's a thing. I watched.
Oh, Street Fighter was so bad. So bad.
Hey, he was the only good part about that movie.
Yeah.
And then Rusty Soul. He was a hell of a, I mean, he looked identical. He was M. Bison. That's for him.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
Like, he was Rusty Soul, but, and
Ming-Na Wen was Chun-Li.
Yeah.
I was, every time I watch a movie, I'm like, oh yeah.
She was Chun-Li in, was she Chun-Li in the, they did a separate Chun-Li movie. Remember?
I think she was.
Let me double check.
I think she was too.
I don't know if she was in both or just the one.
Yeah, I thought that trailer looked awesome when they showed Sub-Zero and he grabs Jack's arm and he freezes both of them and then they fall and then he rips them off basically and you're like, ah, that's why he has metal arms. So I thought that was kind of cool, but it's definitely just going to be like a gore fest for sure, like, which is, you know, what the game is, should be like that.
Yeah,
true.
I think it'll be good. I don't know. What's his face? I cannot say his name. The guy who's playing Scorpion is like awesome. Like he's always a great actor.
Oh yeah,
is the shit. So, anything he's in is good. And I don't know how to say his name, so I apologize. Not like whoever see this, but I apologize. I don't know how to say your name. So,
yeah, he was in. I think first thing I ever saw him in was Lost.
Yeah, he was in Lost. I liked him in
Street. She was just in Street Fighter, not Street Fighter. Okay.
I was really excited when I saw him on there. I thought he was good. I'm like, yes,
I like him.
Gonna be perfect for Scorpion. Yeah.
Yep. So he was in Last Samurai with Tom Cruise, despite Tom Cruise being in it. The movie was cool. And then he was in 47 Ronin, a few other. I mean, he was in all, a lot of stuff. It was really cool. He played.
Yoki Sonata.
Yep.
That guy. Yeah.
Yeah.
He is. I forgot that he was a damn Lost. Samurai. Yeah. He was awesome in Lost. And he was only, three episodes? Like, he was just the dude in the temple and the...
Yeah, he was just the dude in the temple. Did he get poisoned? I'm trying to remember.
I think he does. I think he gets poisoned.
There was something that happened with poison. Yeah, but he's pretty awesome.
Yeah. Cool. Well, I will report back with any other cool Comics Pro findings, but... Like I said, most of it was stuff we all kind of already knew because we've all been talking to each other because we've had nothing else to do. So it wasn't anything super out of the norm, and nothing's been super, super crazy. Oh, Boom doing that Magic comic coming out. They announced it like a couple weeks ago. Holy crap, does that look awesome. I have confirmed that there will not be any cards in it. Which sucks.
That's surprising.
I asked and they said, unfortunately, they could not make that work. But this story is between Ravnica and Zendikar, and it takes place on Ravnica and it will move to Zendikar, and it is its own standalone universe. So it's not going to connect to the movie. It's not going to connect to the other stuff, but dude, some of this art, oh my God. And the guys who write it and draw it are big Magic fans. There's like a Sorin and Liliana variant cover that are just to die for. And I told them, I was like, look, if you can do what you did with Power Rangers and Buffy and take those properties and make them amazing like you are now, like, you're going to knock this out of the park. Like, that's, flat out told that to the guys, to Philip at Boom. Point blank. I just told him that. And he was like, thanks, man. like just make it good and we'll be cool. Cause the Ajani looks awesome. Like the art that they were showing was so good. So good. Then we talked a little bit about manga stuff, and most of it Bo's already on because he's dove in head first.
Don't tell nobody that. Don't tell nobody that. I can't get over it. I used to make fun of everything manga, and I stand corrected. There's a lot of cool stuff. Some of the stuff is a little edgy, even for me, coming from me, but it's some cool stories. It really is. Yeah.
The big ones I take away from that were My Hero Academia was the biggest one. And then Demon Slayer. Demon Slayer was the next big one. And they said a lot of it, they feel, correlates to the fact that people are at home and they're like finding all these animes on Hulu and Amazon and Netflix and Crunchyroll. Like, and it's just blowing it up. So it's kind of cool. I dig it. But that's pretty much all the pop culture nerd news I think I have, right? Do you guys have anything else?
Nope.
Cool. Well, thanks, Ron, for watching again. he has left like almost 10 comments, including this awesome one that's, I missed my calling. Why didn't I get a job at a comic book store and just live there, live in these movies and books and art? You guys and your knowledge is amazing. Thank you, sir. You honor us. really appreciate that. Yeah, he is.
He's a waterfront frequenter.
Yeah.
Oh, customer. Sorry, Carl. You as well. Yes. Sorry, Carl. You honor us as well, sir.
Carl's still here.
But they're like our two consistent watchers this year, far. But but it's cool because we're still getting like 200 to 300 views in post, which is awesome.
Yeah.
So please keep sharing it. Please let people know how awesome it is, and we will keep doing this every week until you guys tell us that we suck.
We took that for granted.
I mean, we were just bored, honestly. Like, we just needed something else to do to mingle. But no, it's very cool. Oh, Ron would like to know best comic, a vote of best comic book movie ever.
Best comic book movie
ever. I could probably give you like my top three, maybe. Let's do top three. Iron Man 1 for sure is up there for me, because that was like the one that really set the Marvel Universe off. I thought it was the movie that really honed in on how to make a really good comic book movie.
I mean, Winter Soldier is my of Marvel's. Winter Soldier is my favorite. So,
okay, how about we do this? We'll do favorite Marvel, favorite DC, favorite non.
Okay.
So, because Winter Soldier is like my second favorite Marvel movie, and mostly because most of the action is actually them doing it. Like those knife drops and shit are really them doing it. Yeah,
that's awesome.
So, all right, Bo, what's your favorite Marvel movie?
Marvel? I don't know. I don't ever get into Marvel too much, I'll be honest.
Dolph Lundgren Punisher.
Yeah, that was pretty cool. No. To be honest, I like the Thor movies. Any of them, all of them. I like the character, so I watched, you know, it translates to me on the big screen. I liked it, cool. So
For DC,
probably not the best though, no. But I like.
Yeah, I mean, for DC, that's going to be a hard one. For me, it's going to be a toss-up between Shazam and Batman Begins. Because I thought Shazam was the most comic vibe one they did of the newer stuff. And I thought Batman Begins was the best thing that had happened before basically like Watchmen came out. Watchmen's probably number three for me. That was because it was panel for panel, man.
Yeah, it really was.
So, Tim, favorite DC?
Probably the original two Superman, Christopher Reeves.
Oh,
especially the first one. Those were really good movies, and I feel like that's Superman.
Yeah,
I think it was the last time that they understood Superman. So.
I can see that. So,
yeah.
Bo?
The Dark Knight, by far, with Joker. Heath Ledger was, that was so cool. Dude lost his mind because of it.
You could take everything out and just watch Joker scenes and it would still be the best movie, best of those Batman movies. So
Carl put his as the Infinity War, Joker, and then Men in Black. Ron said Iron Man 1 is number one for him. Agreed. So
it started it all.
Yeah. Well, it started the what I felt was the direction that they needed to go into. So
yeah.
For the other one though, oh man, that's tough.
I know mine. I'm just gonna blurt it out. Scott Pilgrim.
That was good. Oh, that was so good. Damn it. Like, my guilty pleasure movie wants to come to the top, but I don't want to say it because it's not very good, but it's super fun.
Say it.
Fuck it. So my guilty pleasure movie of non-Marvel DC is Josie and the Pussycats.
Oh, that's a good movie.
And I just rewatched it because it's on... Huh?
I said with Rosario Dawson, that one?
Yeah. And Tara Reid and Rachel Lee Cook and Elizabeth Banks and a bunch of other guys. That was on, it's on HBO Max. And I loved it from the soundtrack is really what nailed me. But if I have to go with like the non-cheeseball, like guilty pleasure one, Scott Pilgrim's probably up there, but I may have to go with the first Hellboy. So... That's probably my big one. So, all right, Bo.
Mine's easy. Dread, no doubt. My favorite my favorite all time comic. Carl Urban Dread. Let's clarify.
Yeah.
That was
nonstop greatness for me. Right. But
Ron put up the Dark Knight and then the Ninja Turtles movie. The original Ninja Turtles movies. Ninja Turtle movie I thought was great. The second one was still fun. Third one was crap. The animated one was crap.
It was still good for what it was.
I will say the new one though with Bebop and Rocksteady was actually pretty good.
It was better than the first one of those.
Was that second one Out of the Shadows?
The second one I think was the first one was just
Out of
the
Shadows. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That first one was
not good. No bueno at all.
It was just fun getting to see Bebop and Rocksteady like that, you know. Like I remember being a kid and waiting for the second one. I'm like, Bebop and Rocksteady, and then we got freaking Toka and Razar. Like
Mama, it was Mama,
the dollar store version of Bebop and Rocksteady.
I thought they were fun, so
they were.
And we got Super Shredder. We got Kevin Nash. Yeah, Carl said Spawn is his guilty pleasure, so that's good.
Yeah,
I haven't watched that in forever.
Oh man,
John Leguizamo was an awesome clown.
He's doing an image book. He announced that today. He's doing an image book. Yeah,
yeah. There was word through that. Yep. Yeah, he was an awesome clown. Dear God.
Yeah, he was. He was killer, man. No pun intended. Yeah, that was a lot of fun. I missed the Spawn movie. I think that. I you know what, I rewatched it not too long ago and I was like, if they were to just redo the animation in it, like the CGI, that movie would still look awesome. But the CGI in it makes it look so bad.
Yeah. Well, what's his face is a perfect Al Simmons. What is his name? Michael. Damn. I can't remember his name.
Talking about Worf? Michael Dorn?
Oh,
No.
Oh.
Michael Jai White or something like
that. Yeah, Jai White. Yeah, he played. He was the perfect Al Simmons in that movie. So and he should have been Jax in Mortal Kombat, to be honest, because I think he played Jax in like some of them YouTube videos that they was doing for Mortal Kombat for a long time. So
cool.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's pretty much all I got, unless you guys have more things.
Nope.
I really hate this time of the world because like
I have third period, that's it.
Yeah. Are we winning?
Left. Yeah, 3-0. They just scored.
Nice. All right. Well, thanks everybody for listening / watching. Ron and Carl, bros.
Thanks, guys.
We'll see everybody next week. I guess the other question is, does 8 work better for everybody, or is 7 still the ballpark?
I like 7 for me, just because I finish up the show and then I can go right into this.
Yeah, but it's back to back. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's fine. It also works out for me once Grey's Anatomy starts back up, because then I can go watch that.
Yeah. Priorities. Sorry. I see where you're going with this.
Sorry. I really love Grey's Anatomy. I'm sorry. I wish they would do that in a comic book. That'd be awesome. So maybe. McDreamy all week. Anyway, all right. Well, thanks everybody. We'll catch you next week. Make sure you shop local. And if you want to shop local with us, that's cool too. Thanks.